Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Seahawks beat the Eagles 23-17 in a game Seattle dominated for really most of the night. The Seahawk defense sacked Carson Wentz six times and held Philly to under 300 yards of total offense. And after all the rumors that we'd be seeing a lot of Jalen Hurts last night, the backup quarterback only ended up recording two official snaps as Philly once again rolled with Carson Wentz. Wentz did have two touchdowns, but he also threw a costly interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter. Now joined by Orlando Scandrick. Orlando, so you were in the locker room when you played for the Eagles. So I got to ask you, a couple years ago, you had that experience. In your opinion, is it time to bench Carson Wentz?
Well, I got to start my day off like I do, like I was raised. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
You
come over here to gloat. Yeah. You come over here to gloat. I already know.
No. Hold on. So about a year ago, I came on here, and you know, I was called a hater. I was bitter. I was upset.
You were.
But I was truthful. You know what they say? They will forgive you for telling a lie, but they will hate you for the truth. But let's go back on topic. So, Wentz, I did a lot of research last night, and he's been awful. But the facts of it is, I'm going to give you from a business perspective first. He's guaranteed $25.4 million next year in the form of $15.4 million in salary, $10 million in a guaranteed roster bonus. From a business perspective, we can bench him. We can. He's been awful. He has 95 off-target completions, most in the NFL. He leads the NFL in sacks. He's been sacked 46 times. He leads the NFL in interceptions. He's thrown 15 interceptions, if my notes are right. Okay. Now, you can bench Wentz, fire Dougie P, but you still got the same little weasel snake picking the players. He's been god-awful. You say Wentz doesn't have any help. Well, how's he supposed to have help if we draft J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf?
True.
Then we go in the offseason and we say, Wentz still doesn't have any help. And then we draft Jalen Reagor, a guy who was a punt returner. He was basically known for being a punt returner at TCU over
Jefferson.
What is his last name? I'm sorry, Jefferson. You're a hell of a player. I'm sorry. And I just think it's time to blow the whole thing up. Blow it all up. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Give him his Super Bowl ring. Give him all his little pats on the back and call him a nice Uber XL and get him on out of there.
And by the way, let's go ahead and name the GM he refers to. It's Howie Roseman.
Little weasel.
All right, go ahead.
But so let me ask you a question. Back to the original topic, should they bench Walk It to him?
you could bench walk it to him, but it's not all walking to him fault. Besides, he holds on to the ball too long, and you know, he takes too many risks, and he obviously sees things that are not there by that last interception that he threw. But I mean, you got to look at the guy, the team is, that's been assembled. Look at the team that Howie has put into place. It's awful. It is awful. It's just, it baffles me how Coach Reed gets fired from there, who was a great coach, Hall of Fame coach, how he gets demoted when Chip comes in, and somehow he weasels his way back to the top and he's the GM again. And now, you know, he did well. He assembled some pieces. They won a Super Bowl, but you know, that's in the past. Yeah. You told me when you get in the position of paying people for what they did 4 or 5 years ago, you know, you're in bad shape, right?
Yeah, basically. You know, I don't believe they should bench him, but there's enough blame to go around. Wentz has taken so many hits is that he's predetermining where he's going to throw the football because he knows those hits are coming. I watched their receivers last night. Oh, they can't get open. They can't get open. I mean, it's as simple as
that. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does not even dress. DK Metcalf is tearing the league up.
Right. So they passed on guys like Metcalf. You passed on Jefferson to take Jalen Reagor. And your offensive line has gotten old and debilitated. And so now you put all that together. You got a quarterback that's, even when he has a clean pocket skip, he's not the most accurate. And I'm being nice. Okay, he's a very inaccurate quarterback with a strong arm. That's not something to be proud of. It's kind of like having the most air distance yards. I thought the job of the quarterback was to complete the pass. So when you look at his inaccuracy, you look at their offensive line inability to protect him, you look at Dougie P's refusal to run the football, when you combine all that together, you got a mess. You got a mess on your hand.
What people don't realize about Carson Wentz is that he's way more comfortable throwing to bigger bodies. That's why he throws to tight ends, because he's inaccurate. He's way more – Skip, hold on one second. I got to acknowledge my man Skip. Skip is loving this. We're happy that we're not committing over $30 million to a guy that throws to tight ends.
And one more thing before I turn over to Skip. Okay. Skip, there were some situations last night. You can't have 30-yard pass interference. You got to put that ball on Goddard, and that's a touchdown. You had another one earlier, had Bobby Wagner beat early, and you underthrew it, and you allowed him to get back into play. It's plays like that. So when it's clean, you got to make them pay for making mistakes and leaving linebackers on your tight end that far down the field. And Wentz did not make them play. But when you get sacked 11 more times already than the next closest competitor, you're on pace to have the third most sacks in NFL history. We saw what it did to David Carr. It ruined him. He was never the same after his rookie year, Skip. And I'm afraid he's taken so many sacks, we might not ever see the best of what we thought Carson Wentz would be, which was his second year. You can't keep taking these shots and be strong. It's not going to happen.
Mm. Before I turn it over to my lovely elder Cowboys fan, Skip, I'm just going to say one thing. I came on here and I called it, and you know, I was taught at a very young age, it doesn't catch up to you until it catches up to you. And now it's caught up to him. Go ahead, Mr. Skip Bayless.
So, to your point, as a Cowboy fan, I am loving this. I'm loving listening to this man try to defend a quarterback who is now indefensible.
I didn't defend him, though.
This time you didn't. To start the show, you tried. And you tried valiantly to try to save what's left of Carson Wentz. And my point here is, I hope they don't bench Wentz, because I am the biggest Jalen Hurts fan. And I fear that Jalen Hurts, if inserted into the starting lineup, even where do they go on the road? They have to go to Green Bay. Okay, so that's hard, right? Against the guy you say should be the GOAT, or he plays better than the GOAT. Jalen Hurts has intangibles, leadership intangibles, playmaking intangibles, even accuracy intangibles that Carson Wentz does not have. I've never been a fan. I've been consistent in this opinion since 2016. Dak Prescott is better than Carson Wentz. He had his moment. He had his run with a loaded, hot football team in 2017, got all the way out here to Southern California to the Coliseum against the Rams, and he wrecked his knee. Sorry to hear that. Hate it for him. But what happened? a guy that Shannon has no respect for, Nick Foles, just stepped right in and took over, and off they went, and they went and won the Super Bowl. That's how talented that Howie Roseman team was. Mm-hmm. You got to give Howie credit for that team.
Yes.
I told you, even a trash can get a steak one time.
Okay, all right.
It's going to get a steak when your stomach is hurt.
He did that. Now, it scares me that they will go to Jalen Hurts because Carson wasn't born with that leadership gene. Somehow this team doesn't respond well to him. They try to muster it up. They try to say all the right things. But there was that big expose in the Philly Voice two off seasons ago in which nobody liked how he was responding to criticism, how he's handling himself.
How he carried himself in the locker room.
Correct. So the point is, he's a big, strapping young man, and what he does best right now, he just takes off and runs with it. And he will run with big courage because he'll try to run through your brick wall. But as a passer, he's lost his way. His touch, his poise, his feel, his rhythm, he's just completely out of whack. And to Orlando's points, he's just running away with all the negative categories in the NFL, starting with sacks, going to interceptions, fumbles lost. He's a mess. And they're a mess right now, and maybe they will clean house. Maybe it's about to cost Doug Peterson his job, but again, they got one saving grace to me, and that is Jalen Hurts. And albeit all I got is somebody who worked at Alabama, and he lost his job to Tua, but then he came back in and saved them in the fourth quarter of the Georgia SEC championship game. And then at Oklahoma last year, he carried a miserable defense all the way to the college football playoffs, and they got obviously blown out by LSU. But that's Jalen Hurts, and that's what he would do for this team. And why they had some cockamamie plan last night to try to alternate them, I don't know what it was happening. I don't know what they were doing. If, in fact, he split snaps with Carson Wentz last week 50-50, that's pathetic because that's unfair to Carson Wentz.
You know what it seems like to me, Skip? It seems like the reason why he didn't give Jalen Hurts more is that it got leaked that it was happening.
Maybe.
And so now all of a sudden, that ain't what we do. We just doing our normal things. And so to save face, because it got out.
Yep. But there are also reports that ownership, up to Mr. Lurie
said,
told Doug Peterson, if you want to bench him, bench him.
Right.
To Orlando's final point.
Though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not the case. The case is Carson Wentz is guaranteed to be on that team next year. And is nobody going to write out checks for $1.5 million per week to see somebody hold a clipboard? So the only solution in this is you have Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts may be the answer. Clean house, get a new staff in, and let's see what Carson can do with a new staff before you just turn him off and before you just throw him away in the trash. He was the number two pick in the draft for a reason. You know, put somebody around him that's going to put him in situations that he's going to be successful. He's
okay,
lost all
think about
talent,
this. Think about
all faith.
What do you know? What do we know about Carson Wentz at the highest level? Well, he played one playoff game against Seattle.
Right.
And he lasted like a minute, and he got hurt again.
Right.
And he threw four passes and completed one for 4 yards. I think three passes. One for three for 4 yards.
I believe
so,
it.
So you don't even know how he's going to play in a real big game.
Well, it's
really hard. It's really hard to find a franchise quarterback. And I'm not going to rush Jalen Hurts in there before I have to. And you and Shannon, you talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time. And Kip, you talk about Tom Brady. Neither one of those guys were rushed into action. It came to him. So for me, it's just like, don't rush. I don't want to rush Jalen Hurts into action, because I think that if you put him in right now and the O-line being bad and everything being, you know, all in kind of disarray, you don't want him to take too many hits, and you'll lose him like Carr, or you'll lose him like they've lost Wentz or like Sam Darnold. So it's no need to rush him right now. I would get through this year. You know, you got to get rid of the top. Aren't you going to get some bad, bad high draft picks? Or are you going to get some more J.J. or Tego Whitesides or Jalen Reagors?
But here's the thing, this is what we know. If you don't give a quarterback, if you got a quarterback behind a bad offensive line and he doesn't have guys that can get open, there's a reason why Tom Brady is out of New England. Because he didn't believe those weapons, and he went to where? He went to a place with maybe the exception of Kansas City. It's hard for you to say there's a team that has more weapons offensively than what they have in Tampa. Tom Brady ain't no dummy. Mm. Look at those receivers. Come on, man. There's not one receiver that's currently starting in Philly that can go anywhere else and start.
Mm. And then if you top it off to they got, you're in a contract dispute with your tight end, with one of the top five tight ends in the league. So he's already been reported to have a verbal altercation with the Weasel. So
and he's in no rush to get skipped. If I got a contract squabble, you think I'm in a rush to get back to make me look bad with this quarterback?
So, Orlando, last quick question before we let you go. Do our Cowboys have any shot to win this division?
You always got a shot unless you go, and when you go out and play on Sundays. But it depends. I mean, the Giants are playing well, but Daniel Jones is a little banged up. Yep. Washington got a freaking tough stretch of schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Ravens have been hit hard with COVID. So hopefully
they'll be back on Wednesday, bro. They'll be back.
Wishful thinking.
You thought so. LJ going to get right on y'all.
We got more of a shot than the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, but that's not saying much. Whoever can get to 6 wins will win this division. The first team to 6 wins win the division.
We might get to 7.
I bet you that don't happen.
Orlando, we appreciate your time. Always good to get your take.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Well, the Tampa Bay Bucs have lost 3 of their last 4 games, and more people are speculating that there's a disconnect between Tom Brady's skill set and Bruce Arians' offensive philosophy. However, a new report indicates that the offensive struggles start and end with the GOAT. Bruce Arians reportedly downplayed any idea of a rift, but told NFL Network, quote, Tom Brady picks all the plays now. We call what he picks. We just have to get better. So, Shannon, what is Bruce Arians saying here?
What Bruce Arians is saying is, Skip, is that a lot of experienced quarterbacks have input in the game plan. Skip, let's just say for the sake of argument, there's 100 plays. And Byron Leftwich, who's the offensive coordinator, BA, will say, Tom, give me the 60 or 70 plays that you like. Tom wraps up, you know, and they're all mapped off. Okay, Skip, you got first down, you got first and 10, you got second and 5, you got third and long, third and 1-3, third and 5-7, all that, Skip. You got red zone, you got certain areas of the field. Tom, give me the play, give me 60, 70 plays that you like. Okay, and they might be color coordinated. Now, I'm going to leave all 100 plays up there, Skip, but the plays that Tom liked might be a different color. They might be pink, they might be blue, they might be purple. But these are the plays Tom liked in these situations. Mm. So I'm calling plays according to what Tom has told me he liked. First down plays, second down plays, third down plays, second and 1-3, third and 3-5, third and long, red zone, goal to go. So I'm calling the plays. Skip, this is not a criticism, but if you don't think Drew Brees, if you don't think Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers have this kind of input, you're fooling yourself. You ask a guy, what do you feel comfortable with? What would you like to, you know, call in these situations? And so BA said, we're calling the plays according to what Tom told us he likes. But Skip, I'm a firm believer in this, and I said this all along. The question was, you know, how would Brady perform having to throw the ball down the field an awful lot? But Skip, if you make this offense totally Tom Brady friendly, you take away what's really great about Mike Evans, what's about Chris Godwin. Skip, they're down the field guys. So if you have them running a lot of shallow crosses, a lot of, you know, smoke routes and jailbreak screens, Skip, that's not them. That's not who they are. So you're going to lose some of the big play potential of what you have in those guys. But I don't think BA is trying to dodge criticism. All he's saying is that, look, we're calling plays the plays that Tom says he likes, and these to get a better need to do a better job of executing said plays. Mm. But it's not like, Skip, we're off script, and the plays that we're calling, Tom doesn't know anything about.
Okay, so I look at this completely differently than you did, because I think Bruce Arians just went 5-for-5. Wait, how many games? Yeah, they've lost 5 games. Am I right? Yeah, 5. He's 5-for-5 with what I would call scathing critiques of his GOAT quarterback after each loss, each one designed to say, don't look at me. Don't blame me. Just now we've given him the whole offense. Baloney, you gave him the whole offense. What does Tom Brady lead the league in, the stat you hate the most? Air distance. What does that stat indicate to you? That he's trying to do what Bruce Arians believes in. He's trying to do it the Bruce Arians philosophical way, which is no risk it, no biscuit. I am trying to throw it long again and again and again. Right. He hit a couple the other day, should hit one more to Mike Evans, but he had in a slump for the previous three games where he couldn't hit anybody. He's 1 for 19 on 20-plus yard throws. Then the other day, he had 5 20-plus yard completions. The point is that it's still not his offense. He is selecting plays from Bruce Arians' play sheet.
Right.
Like he's saying, Bruce is saying, what do you like of these plays, Tom? Well, they're your plays, right? Well, I guess I like that one and that one. Oh, okay, we'll call those for you. But they're from your philosophy.
Right.
They're from your approach, it's not like, from my approach.
You go to someone's house and it's like, what would you like? Okay, I cook this, this, and this. What would you like?
Well, I don't really like any of it. Okay, I guess I'll take that, right? And maybe I'll just taste it, right? Okay, so what does Tom Brady love the most? He loves play action, but they don't run the ball with any consistency. And then I saw a great stat on one of them. I think it was Pro Football Focus had it, that they're still 50-50 run-pass on first down. And most teams are more, like Mahomes is 66% pass on first down. Mm-hmm. Because it's a league, as you know, that went to throw it first and then run it, right?
Right.
Because it's too predictable to run on first down, especially if it's not a creative. And it to Leonard Fournette on first down, it's probably going to go for a half a yard, right? So they are 28th in run success on first down, which shows you they keep it, it's second.
Well,
nine,
you play behind the sticks.
Yeah, you just play behind the sticks, and it's hard, man. Mm-hmm. It's just hard. You're fighting an uphill statistical battle that you're probably not going to win.
Tom Brady was at his absolute best, Skip, when it was third and say, 5 yards
absolutely.
Or less. Because now he can get the backs involved with the swing routes and the little check downs.
Okay. So play action only works when they fear the run. And this team, 28th in rushing, has not established much fear of the run at all. What does Tom Brady also love to do? He loves to set up and throw screen passes to James White, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't throw. When's the last time you saw Tampa try a screen pass?
Right.
It's rare. Maybe one a game. I don't think they tried any against Kansas City. Maybe I'm forgetting one, but I don't remember a screen pass, right?
Right.
When do they use any motion in the offense? They just don't like it.
Right.
Bruce Arians doesn't believe in it. So this is completely misleading to tell Michael Silver, we just say, here, you pick it. And again, the indication is that he's actually picking it at the line of scrimmage. Well, he's got options. He can change. He can audible, obviously, the way Peyton could. But you're still you're picking from this menu that you just talked about. It's the Bruce Arians menu.
Right.
And Tom, I don't care what you say about him. He is the proverbial coach's pet. He wants to do it the way you want to do it.
Right.
So if you tell him, Tom, this is the way I've seen it work. It worked with Peyton, and it worked with Big Ben, and it worked with Carson Palmer, and it worked with Andrew Luck. Wait a second. Three of those guys were the first pick in the draft, and one guy should have been the first pick in the draft.
And what did all those guys get?
Yep.
They got hit a lot.
They got hit a lot.
Because you
got
to hold on to the ball,
and in their year with Bruce Arians, they threw a lot of picks because you're going to throw it up for grabs.
And, Skip, when you're young, you can take hits like that. Think about when he had Big Ben early in his career as a rookie. He had Andrew Luck young in his career. He had Peyton Manning. 22-year-olds can recover a lot quicker from bumps and bruises that a 43-year-old.
Okay.
So you're asking him to hold on to the ball to take the shots to the top.
And he's taken more shots than anybody because the distance the ball travels, not the completion. It doesn't mean completions, just how far he throws the ball. He's running away with the NFL lead in air distance because he's going, no risk it, biscuit.
Well, I think the thing is that B.A. hears the criticism. He heard what some of Tom Brady's confidants and some other people said, calling for his job, says if they miss the playoffs or they don't win, you know, they get bounced in the playoff early, maybe they need to get rid of B.A. and bring someone into Tom Brady's liking that's going to let him do what he does. So he's like, hold on, wait a minute now. Y'all make it seem like we just call him willy-nilly players here and Tom doesn't have any input.
Yep.
We're giving Tom input in this now. We're calling the plays that he said he liked.
Okay.
Skip, if I go to In-N-Out, I ain't getting chicken tenders. Because they don't got nothing on the menu. Chicken tenders. Nah, bro, this is all we got right here. You get a double-double, you get a single, or you get some onion rings, but you ain't getting no hot dogs here. Mm. Okay, well, Tom Brady's like, hold on, bro, I know. You're saying I have input, but it's you.
You still go to In-N-Out?
No, I haven't been. The line too long.
The line's too long?
Yeah. Did you see that line in Colorado Springs?
No.
12 hours.
No.
For what?
Waiting for In-N-Out. That's the first one.
In Colorado.
In Colorado.
Oh, I get that.
They wait 12 hours. People running out of gas.
Sound like you might drive to Colorado.
I wish I might. I ain't waiting 12 minutes.
So, last quick thought on this. This is classic to me, damning with faint praise, because he's also saying, we're getting close. We're very comfortable with each other, but it's all his choice. You know, it's whatever he wants to do.
Well, I just think the thing is, Skip, they just need to get, it's the bye week.
Yeah.
Tom, go in there and talk to Ben. I said, look here, bro. You're doing too much talking.
I don't think Tom does that.
Well, he needs to skip. I understand, Skip, but he's never been upset. A coach has never put him in this situation.
Nope.
So sometimes when someone has done something that you've never had done to you,
that is
you must react in a way that you've never reacted before.
Yep.
Just go talk. B.A., bro, we in this together. If I don't succeed, you don't succeed. If you don't succeed, I don't succeed. So let's just hold hands, kumbaya, squeeze it. Look here, bro. Stop all that talking.
I hear you. True.
I don't think he's a kumbaya type of guy. I don't know if I've seen that from him.
No mercy.
In 4 days, it's the fight event of the fall as undefeated Errol Spence Jr. takes on Danny Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship. Available on pay-per-view or buy the fight on boxsports.com/PPV and watch on any screen you want. It's that easy, guys. Well, listen to this. Former President Barack Obama may be from Chicago, but he could end up jumping ship on Michael Jordan one day as the best basketball player ever. In an interview with Complex, Obama admitted that, quote, LeBron is making strides in the GOAT debate. His career is not over yet. We don't know how many more rings he might win. However, as of right now, Obama said he has to stick with MJ. Obama's a big, big basketball fan. So, Shannon, did Obama's comments close the case for Jordan here?
You heard what he said. Mm. You heard what Fo said. That's what LeBron keep doing. Keep the four rings, and also for 44, because we knows how he feel about it.
Well, he just said Jordan's the GOAT.
Whoa. Talk about, Skip. Talk about. We know President Obama is a Chicago guy. He's Chicago through and through. Bulls, Bears, White Sox. He loves that. Okay? Okay, fine. And we know for the most part, Skip, if you grew up in Chicago, Michael Jordan is God. Ain't nobody above Michael Jordan. And for a long time, Skip, Sammy Sosa had that same kind of mythical light, because if you Sammy, when he was doing what he doing, Skip, in the late 90s, he was Babe Ruth.
I was there. I covered it.
He was Babe
for
Ruth.
The Chicago Tribune. I covered Chicago. The great home run race.
Exactly.
Yep.
So for me, Skip, look, President Obama says, for me, no, he's not there yet. But his career is still going. Now, I'm good. Whatever he does, it's gravy for me. Mm. I mean, icing, Skip. We already got like a 12-tier cake. So all he doing is just add more layers. He just getting unnecessary with it. Mm. I mean, I see him winning at least, at the bare minimum, Skip, two more rings. Mm. I see he going to get
bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
Did we write that down? Yep. We got that on tape,
Skip,
right? Bare minimum.
Skip, I told you before he even got there. I said, we're going to get two rings in 4 years. But we're going to get enough. We're going to get a repeat. Mm. And then we're going to, you know, because we got to opt out next year. We're going to see what Rob does before we opt back in. Mm. And we might get Giannis and get three more rings. But anyway, he said that because LeBron is still building this castle, Skip. Mm. Because he's still building, Michael can add no more bricks to his castle. There's a chance that he believes that, you know, LeBron can overtake him. Mm. Me, I don't need, LeBron don't need to add no more paneling to the house, no more marble hardwood floors. Mm. I'm straight where I am. Mm. You don't need no more appliances in this, you know. Mm. Good, stainless appliances, we good, Skip. I've seen enough. House is beautiful, spectacular. Mm. So for me, you know where I stand. But for President Obama to say that there's even a chance for someone to catch Michael Jordan, I mean, I think it tells you everything you need to know.
Mm.
But for you, it's done.
Well, I think the case just got closed by our former president, who is by far the most knowledgeable basketball president we have ever had, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
And I got it. Grew up Chicago. I got it. I got that he's got, once that city gets in your blood, there's nothing like. Any other city in this country does not compare once Chicago gets into your heart and your soul.
Yeah.
I get it. But he knows of what he speaks. He said, Jordan, when he was just, he was, here's the quote from Barack Obama. Michael Jordan was a sight to behold.
He was.
That's what he was.
You had to, Skip, like
Thank
I
you
said,
very much.
You had to see it, though, Skip. The last dance, you had to see him play in person. Mm. You had to feel what surrounded him, that force field around him, to appreciate mm-hmm. what this man was. I've never seen it. I don't believe you'll ever see it again, Skip.
I don't either. Thank you. I think you're making the GOAT
No,
argument,
Skip, but
right?
Skip, he like a Skip. Everybody, but think about Skip, what everybody has said, from KD to LeBron to Shaq, he's like a god. Skip, I'm talking about when the first time I saw him, I thought this man was levitating. I know he looking at me, looking at him, and he's like, what wrong with this little sharp dude looking at me like that? Because Skip, he doesn't seem real. Mm. He doesn't seem, I don't know how you felt when you were around him, because you covered this game and you've been around some GOAT, but not like this. And I've been around a lot of great players in football, basketball, a lot of great athletes, but nothing like him.
So are you acknowledging he's the GOAT?
No, Skip, there you go.
You make the case and then you say, but LeBron's the GOAT.
No, Skip. I'm saying the aura around him and how you like, it's like he doesn't seem real. Mm. He's real. Because you carry on a conversation with him and you shake his hand and stuff, but he doesn't seem real. It's hard to explain. I can't explain it, people. I can't explain it.
Okay. I've tried to explain to you. Of anyone I've ever watched or covered, I'm talking about cold-blooded basketball killer. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about ultimate assassin on the basketball court versus a LeBron James, who to me is just a really nice guy and a great player. But you got it all. Some things Jordan didn't have. But one guy was just as mentally tough as ever there was in any sport. The highest level of clutch competitor ever. And LeBron has had weak moments where he failed. LeBron has had epic fails. And so for me, Barack says, okay, so he says he's making strides and the path is still open. And I think our former president is trying to be as politically correct as possible. But I don't see how the GOAT debate could reopen if LeBron, to your point, if he wins, what are you saying, three more rings?
I say he ends up at least tied with Jordan. At least.
All right, so he's tied and he's 6-6. And don't forget, there's going to be real good chance. If he gets back to finals, there's going to be chances he's going to lose.
There's going to be a chance he wins.
Okay, well, there will be. But again, he's already lost 6, and Jordan never lost 1.
But he ain't winning but the 6. We're going to go to 12, 13.
You still, I don't get this, but it's a trait of the blind witnesses out there, and you are the Shannon Sharp leader of the blind witnesses. But you want to expunge his record. You want to cleanse it and purge eradicate what's already happened.
But hold on, Skip. So if we're doing losses, Brady can't be the GOAT. Montana has to be the GOAT.
Remember, we're talking about Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah.
And that's it, period.
But you said you got to be undefeated in championship games.
Okay, well, I didn't say that. I just said in this debate, Michael versus LeBron, we got 6-0 versus best case 6-6.
Yeah.
Okay, and worst case, we look at, remember his last series in that conference semifinal against Boston before he took his talents to South Beach? What happened? He just melted down. It was horrendously bad. They lost games 4, 5, and 6. And then there were reports that, LeBron had to be, what was it?
Sedated.
I was going to say anesthetized, but sedated. Sedated before games because he was having an issue with a teammate in the locker. What? I'm not buying it.
Exactly, but you keep repeating it, but you're not buying it.
Okay, but it's just silliness to me, and you're disqualified from the GOAT debate, and then you go to Miami, and you have the all-time superstar meltdown on the NBA Finals stage.
Oh, he melted down?
LeBron melted down. Go look at his numbers in games 4, 5, and 6. Here we go again with 4, 5, and 6.
Skip, I will give you the Dallas series was terrible.
It was just horrendous.
But if you look at what Boston did, they put the big three Celtics together to stop LeBron. They went out and got KG. They went out and got Ray Allen to stop GOAT James.
Okay, but they couldn't stop him in game three that night at Boston Garden. He annihilated them. I thought that was the best game LeBron's ever played, and they're up 2-1.
But what do we say about a series? In a series, the best team will always win. Mm. Anybody can win one game, but a series.
And then we go to the Ray Allen shot that saved LeBron, who did melt down in the last 3 minutes.
He
had three uncharacteristic, unforced error turnovers in the last 3 minutes.
But you won't say he almost outscored the entire San Antonio team by himself in the fourth. They scored 20. He scored 16.
All I know is he had the shot to tie it, and he LeBricked it.
Okay.
Long rebound out to Chris Bosh, kicked to Ray Allen in the corner. Boom.
Did Steve Kerr save Jordan's legacy?
No, because that was to win the game. That was to save the game.
Okay. What about Paxson? Mm-hmm. Did he save it later?
He made a big shot. Okay. That wasn't even a setup shot. Somebody else made a shot. It happens.
Allen made a shot.
He made the shot. If it lifts out, we're having a whole different conversation now.
Skip, we remember. I mean, don't make it seem like Jordan scored 40 points in every single finals game because he didn't.
When did a Michael Jordan team ever get blown off the finals floor by a record finals margin by the San Antonio
Spurs?
Obama
that was
2014.
President Obama said, James is indisputably one of the two best players ever. Mm. Now, he said that there is still a chance for me, but I'm saying I'm going to be president 52. Mm. Running 52. No, that's too long.
You're going to be number 52?
No, I'm going to be, we had 40, so this will be 46. I'm going to be 49.
49?
Yep.
Huh.
No, don't do that, Skip. Yeah. Let me have my vote.
We've been in trouble, but now that could take it to a new level.
I know, already know I got two votes.
Yep.
Yours and Jenny's.
Really? You got one.
Oh, I got one.
Yeah. Yes, we'll start there. I can at least say that. That would be fun. As long as I could be a part of the staff.
Yes.
I mean, I could do pretty well with the media, I'd like to think.
Yeah, you'll be my Kayleigh-Ann McEnany.
Thank you. I'd be good at that. I appreciate it.
No mercy.
DK Metcalf caught 10 passes for a career-high 177 yards in Seattle's 23-17 victory last night, but his motivation came from an unlikely source. Metcalf told reporters that during pregame, Eagles defensive coordinator and former Lions head coach Jim Schwartz told him, "I was in Detroit with Megatron. You're not there yet." For his part, Schwartz told reporters that he was definitely just trying to compliment Metcalf, but the Seahawks receiver wasn't having any of it, tweeting out the classic MJ Last Dance meme, "And I took that personally." So, Shannon, what do you make of this?
Well, Darius Slay wished Jim Schwartz would shut up because you didn't have to cover Megatron or DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. And Skip, that's why you have to be careful. You see, Skip, sometimes you can try and pay a guy a compliment, but that's not how he receives it. He said, "You don't think I'm as good as Megatron? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna show you." What I believe Jim Schwartz said is that, "Look, I was the head coach in Detroit. I coach Megatron, and you're the closest thing I've seen size." Now, I don't think he's as gifted a natural catcher of the football like Megatron.
I agree.
Size, speed, yeah, he has all that, but as far as just naturally gifted at catching the football, no, I don't think he's there yet. Could he be? Sure. And he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, Skip, because he sees all the receivers that went in front of him and the teams that passed over him twice. Mm. Seattle passed over him once, but they didn't make that mistake a second time.
They did not.
So he's going to play with that chip a la Tom Brady. Teams that passed over him over and over, and all those guys that went in front of him. So this is why you have to be careful, Skip. You try to give a guy a compliment. He takes it as you taking a shot at him, saying he's not good, and then he takes it out on your football team.
Yep. So we just discussed Michael Jordan in our previous segment. And this comes across to me as Jordan-esque because the all-timer on exaggerating or even creating slights was Michael Jeffrey Jordan because he would just make them up.
Right.
I've told you the story about John Calipari was coaching the
Nets.
New Jersey Nets at that point. Playoff game at New Jersey, and Jordan spent the whole game just torching it should be Perry, I think is how we say it, but Calipari. Sure. And he's pointing to him up the court. This is for you. This is for you. And I asked Michael after the game, what was that about? He said, I don't even know him. I just don't like the way he prances up and down. Okay, well, you just made that one up. Well, this one, he didn't make it up. I think he leaped to a conclusion and exaggerated it because I think Jim Schwartz was attempting to pay him the ultimate compliment. You're on your way to becoming the greatest receiver I ever saw, Megatron, right?
And that's the thing, though, Skip, but if he thinks he's better than Megatron right now, he out of his mind.
Yep.
Well, you can take this as a slight, bro. You're not better than Megatron right now.
Well, that's the truth. He's not.
Yes.
Because I even looked at the numbers, because Megatron had that 1 year in 2012. He almost caught 2,000 yards worth of passes, 1,964. That's the record.
Yes.
Okay, so right now, DK's at 1,039 yards. And if you play out his yards per game, 95 per game, he's going to get to 1,500. Well, so he's not even going to get in the ballpark of that number.
Yeah.
But he's still really good.
Right. And you're only in your second year.
Yeah.
Bruh, you can't look. And I get it. Skip, I'm not here to tell him what he should, whatever he wants to use as motivation. Mm-hmm. If someone's trying to pay you a compliment and you take it as a slight, it's going to get you to that place where you can go and ball out, have at it. But, bro, every time somebody says something to you, they're not trying to slight you.
Yep. So, back to your original point, Jim Schwartz has some Bruce Arians in him because he's got a big ego, and he had some moments of success as the head coach in Detroit, and then it completely flamed out.
Right.
But he can be a little nutty sometimes and go a little crazy and lose his mind. Well, you're losing your mind when you dare to approach the star receiver on the other team and talk to him at all before the game.
Right.
It gets you where nowhere.
Just tell him, say, hey, son, you're a hell of a player.
Hey, you got
a bright future in this league. That's normally what happens, Skip. I mean, you're like, hey, son, you got a heck of a season going on. You're a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Continue success and keep it going. Don't offer no comparisons between, you know, this or that.
No.
Because more times than not, DK Metcalf is not the only guy. Most guys will take that as a slight.
Yeah.
I can assure you. I mean, now, Aaron Donald, I don't think he'll say, well, man, I see a lot of Warren Sapp and a lot of Johnny Randall in you. Well, that was the first thing that I saw him. I said, he reminds me of John Randall with the way he plays with his hands. He's undersized. He's smallish. He's not the typical 300-pound big guy.
Yep.
But he might say, well, oh, so you don't think I'm better than John Randall and Warren Sapp? I mean, you talk about two guys that's in the Hall of Fame, two of the premier defensive tackles
on the football. You're not a coach on a team about to play his team, right?
Right. So, like I said, DK took it as a slight. I just think the thing is, Skip, because he went in the second round, he's like, man, look at this. I'm 6'3", I'm 240, I run 4'3", and can't nobody use this in the first round? Can't nobody use this at the top of the second round?
Yep. Well, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside went in the
second round. Before him.
But he went seven slots before him. Yeah, seven before. And last year in his rookie year, he caught 169 yards total worth of passes.
That man caught 177 last night.
He was 177 last night, and that was for you, J.J.
But Skip, if you're trying to get Carson Wentz, think about what Andy did for Mahomes. He had Tyreek. He go get Mecole Hardman. He had a running back. He go Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yep.
He just tried to add weapons, and I'm going to give him more weapons.
By the way, Mecole went before DK went also in the second round. Right. So just for those who have lost track, Hollywood Brown goes in the first round at 25. Then N'Keal Harry goes at 32, late first round. Then here comes Debo.
Debo Samuel.
So do I. I love him. And I love A.J. Brown. Right. He is starting to dominate, right?
Didn't they play at the same school? Did they both play at Ole Miss?
Yep, they did. That was something. How did they not win more games?
Exactly.
Then McColl went at 56. J.J. went at 57. Paris Campbell went at 59. Andy Isabella went to the Cardinals at 62. He can fly, but come on. Seriously?
Skip me. What about I think sometimes that neck injury. You remember he had that neck injury, and I think DK Metcalf, and I think that might have scared some people off.
What was that? So he's the last pick in the second round, number 64. What also scared people off was, despite all of his just immense ability and his stature, he would drop big balls in big games.
He
dropped one last night in the end zone. It was like his easiest catch of the night, and he just muffed it.
Remember the Arizona one? That rush through him and hit him in his face mask.
It was a face mask. So, okay, that's that guy.
Right.
So that's why what Jim Schwartz said was, It's true.
He gonna have a few drops. Skip. Yep. People don't realize Jerry dropped a lot of balls his rookie year. His first couple, Jerry would drop the ball.
I was there one day when he dropped one against the Giants in a playoff game. He just dropped a touchdown.
And then all of a sudden he dropped nothing.
Yep, because they got blown off the field.
They got their doors blown off of that. And I think that was 86, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And because the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl that year. They beat the brakes off the Broncos.
And it seemed like the score of that game was like 55-3.
But DK got a promising career.
He does.
He's in a great situation. With the exception of Skip, who else could have? Obviously, you didn't know you're going to get Kyler Murray. But he's in the bet. The only situation that would have been better for him had he gone to Kansas City with Mahomes.
Yep.
Because Mahomes was already there. But he's in the second best situation that he could have gone to.
Well, Andy Reid and Brett Veach had their shot.
Right. Sometimes, Skip, it's not how you go, it's where you go.
Yep.
And he went to the perfect situation.
He did. He's in a great spot. No mercy.